Welcome to part two in our two-part series with Dr. Brian Dooley, Serving a Legacy.
And so I would do things like I did my, we would always have 10 question quizzes. One of them I did, all the answers were B. That was hysterical because, you know, they were multiple choice. And I think in 2 years, so about four semesters of doing it, I had about three people get 100 on it because nobody thought all the answers were B. My lesson to that was trust your gut. What's in front of you that might seem it can't be that easy could be that easy.
Can we talk about that for a sec?
Yeah.
You guys, he has dropped, I'm trying to keep track here, over like 30 incredible pearls. I mean, how many times do we say, you know, oh man, hindsight is what?
2020.
You guys typically, sometimes we don't know, like you said, you have talents. You know, Dr. Dean, he helped you figure out your why. He helped you discover what you already knew, what you were already passionate about. But what happens is, you guys, we get complacent. And I'll tell you, I have been so poor that we had to save up to be poor. I was poorer than poor. We had to save up to get to that prestigious level of poor. I've been there. And I get there's going to be a drive and a mindset in you that you just have to do what it takes to make ends meet. I get that. We get that. We understand that. But do not, one of the biggest mistakes that Brian and I hear consistently is people get golden handcuffs. They said, well, I'm passionate about this, yet I went to a clinic that does this. And it was going to be short term. And then I ended up buying the place and I ended up inheriting all the people that wanted this system. Hindsight, you guys, when you go into things, you always have to think, you know, our mentors teach us, what do you want? We have to figure out your why. Like you sharing that message about you and your sweetheart being able to figure out what you loved on the beach that day, figure out your why, but what do you want? And pursue what you want, because it's not going to take that long. You guys, a lot of people underestimate what they can do in a year. Like I'm going to do, or overestimate, you know, I'm going to do all this stuff, but they severely underestimate what can happen in five. Severely. We just had a young doc that was, he was very promising, looking to join our practice. He ended up not being the right fit. And I was trying to give him some counsel. He's been practicing about 15 years old, more than I have. So he's been practicing about 25 years. And as we were talking, you know, he was in that mindset of, doc, man, I will never make as much money and have that opportunity to do what I love. Like doing what you do is what I want. And he was perfect fit on paper. And when he met him, perfect fit. But his mindset, where he goes, well, I need to make this much in 3 months, though. So he literally gave up a career for 3 months. And we hear that. So you spoke to when you understand what you want, when you have the mindset and the heart and you're developing your talents, don't sell yourself short. And I know it's hard to hear. There are times you are living through right now that you've been through or that you will go through. Just because you can monetize something doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Just because you have opportunity to make money in something doesn't mean you should. If you have the patience, I promise you, we promise you, you will have the opportunity to make a fortune. Brian and I both believe that chiropractors should be among the most affluent and influential and most wealthy people on this planet. And you have the opportunity to do that, but you cannot sell yourself short. Do not sell yourself short. Every one of us will say at one point, man, you know, when I was here was my mindset. I sold myself short. I got golden handcuffs put on me. I sold myself for a pot of porridge instead of for an inheritance that was and a birthright. We are born for greatness. You have a moral obligation to play big. You can't give what you don't have. So I appreciate you bringing those points up because you're sharing and to see your enthusiasm and your vigor and your velocity. Because you've always had that for as long as I've known you, but to see that increase and to see your focus get more narrow and laser focused on what you want to only open it up. You know, when I picture you, Brian, I picture you're driving in a car. You know, what you're sharing with me is the reason why when we drive, we have a windshield that is this big and a rear view mirror that is this big.
Right.
Rear view mirror helps us see what we've passed, to see our past. And most of us are trying to live in that past, or they're trying to live with past mistakes as opposed to looking at what I really want. You're going to miss opportunity. So you have some incredible opportunities that you've been afforded, And yeah. like you said, you lessons that you've learned, and you haven't talked about complaining. You've just talked about the lessons you've learned. And I wanted us right. to really emphasize that. So thank you for sharing that for me. So,
sure.
Yeah, please, I mean, please keep sharing.
Yeah. I mean, it, so you learn these lessons, and I decided, so I'll get into teaching. So I interviewed it then I decided, all right, I did this a couple of years. Well, now let me go do, I actually, Russell had posted a job at Parker. And so I actually applied for that and interviewed with Eric and a couple of people. And in the process where I was thinking, maybe I will, you know, because my wife and I already talked about moving to Dallas, Texas and all these things. She was willing to do it, which is wonderful. And then I let me check Sherman's website. And so they were looking for assistant floor doctors to help out. And I said, well, you know what? And I went up and I said, I can give you one day. So I'll come up on Wednesdays, because that was my off day from the office. And they said, okay, which really, you want me here for one day? All right. Okay. But take the opportunity. And here's the thing about opportunity, because that was my foot in the door, because Eric's point was just get a foot in the door, whatever that means. And to your point, I think we say, oh, this is the only way that I can get in there. I mean, it's kind of weird when you expand your view for opportunity, you can be more focused in what you really want and how to achieve it. And so that was my foot in the door. So, and I lived an hour from Sherman. So I drove an hour up, spent time in the health center, drove an hour back. Well, then after a quarter or two or whatever it was, our vice president of academic affairs, and at this point, I mean, I hadn't heard from Eric, and our VP of academic affairs says, well, would you want to teach? I said, sure. And he's, because I was really enjoying being back at Sherman. So Sherman was a place that's always fit for me when I was a student. And I was thinking, well, all right, it'd be neat to be on the other side of the desk. And I taught chiropractic history and the 33 principles. That's what I was asked to teach first. And for me, those were probably the two classes I would have asked to teach. And so I was really excited about it. And then my mentor is Dr. Bill Deccan, who's wonderful. He's probably the biggest unsung hero in my mind in chiropractic would be Dr. Bill. But so he was guiding me and teaching me how to teach. And this is an important lesson that he taught me. And I think it goes for all of us in practice too, was he said, just stay a day or two ahead of the students. You don't have to know it all today. And so that was huge because, so yeah, to a degree, I was faking it till I made it, right? At Sherman at the time, they said, here are the PowerPoints, go teach, go forth and teach. I'm like, okay. And so I didn't write the PowerPoint. So now you're trying to figure out what was the train of thought that somebody else was doing? How do you want to put your own take on it? And then my first thought was like, all right, I'll just suffer through this first quarter. I'll tweak it in the second quarter, and then I'll be an expert on a third quarter. And now that I've been here 30 some odd quarters, I realize you never, I don't know if you never get to that expert point, but you should always be looking to improve and tweak. It's not like I got to figure it out and I'm going to coast. Because the ones that have coasted, you can tell they're the ones that are the most miserable, versus the ones that want to keep growing. Those are the ones that are living the best life.
BJ taught that. BJ's words were, once you think you're ripe, you're rot.
Right.
That's when you're rot. Once you think you have it all, your attention and your intention changes, your focus changes. So wherever your focus goes, that is what is going to grow. And that's exactly what you're teaching is right. that and sharing is where your focus goes. That is what is going to that is what is going to grow exponentially in front of you. This episode of the Chiropractor's Edge is brought to you by Mango Voice. Mango Voice is an enterprise-grade VoIP system based in the cloud. Whether you're at the office or on the go, Mango gives you the tools you need to engage customers like never before. This is a product that my team can't live without, and neither should yours.
Well, and I love that you said where you put your focus, because when I got into chiropractic, my thought was that's a job that I could make money at. And I could make money. And as I kept my focus on making money, And even my wife was like, well, what about the money? What about, you know, things were slow. And so you're having these conversations that aren't fun to have, right? I knew that I wasn't providing the way that I should for my family. But I kept focusing on the money. And so when I focused on the money, that's when I brought people into the practice or brought mindsets into the office that just shouldn't have been there. And so Dr. Rick Brescia is out in Illinois, and he was working with us at the time. So he came and visited my office, and he saw that I had a massage therapist that was renting space for my office at that point. And this is not a good or bad thing. I get massages all the time, but he said, why do you blankety blank have that blankety blank massage therapist in your office? And the idea was, you're a chiropractic office, be a chiropractic office. And I said, you're right. And in my head, I justified it as, well, she's just renting space. So she wasn't an employee of mine. She was just renting space. But in the head, I justified that. But then I said, you know what? That's a room that I can't see somebody in. And so so I found her a better place for her business. And so she wasn't happy to leave at first, but I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. I mean, but I found your place, and it turned out it was better for her in the long run. So this is one of those universe things. Now I opened up, I became so much more efficient. Instead of dealing with one table, I had two that I was able to use. So I'm just going back and forth between the room, and all of a sudden my PVA is going up because I'm able to see so many more people. Cause you can really, if you have two tables, you can see double with one. And I really refined my systems to work a certain way. And this is just how we do it. I did crazy out of the wall things like train my staff. So nutty things versus just leave it up to you, staff. Do whatever you want to do up there.
Get the and fire so in your heart and belly and go get it done.
Yeah, it was nuts. We would have trainings where we decided this is the systems that's working best for us. And what I found with it, because then I hear from students, well, I want systems. I don't want to be a robot. And it's not about being a robot. It's about being able to perform at the highest level when you know exactly how it's going to go. And it's no different. You watch somebody go take a bat, get up to bat in a baseball game. The way they swing the bat and get ready to hit, it's the same every time. The way somebody takes their free throws, it's the same every time. So the way people train, it's the same every time. And the reason why it is they want consistent results. So I quit thinking about, well, how do I hit a home run in my life? And I'm like, where can I get singles and just move the base runners over? And that's where clean systems, whatever they are, help. I mean, I had been in chiropractic coaching, and I did what most of us do. That's really good stuff. I'm throwing it on the shelf, and I'll get to it eventually, right? Principle 15 is my favorite, where there's no motion in matter without the application of force by intelligence. So your life isn't going to move unless you have a good plan and you put effort into it. It's a universal principle. It just is the way that it is. And so this led to my practice. So now, oddly enough, now I'm only practicing 12 hours a week at that point. And I was sailing through. I mean, I was growing and growing and growing. I was just doing really well in practice, and I was still in the office. So my day was, I left the house at 6:30. I got to Sherman about 7:30, prepared to teach. I taught and did school duties until 3:00. I drove an hour home, and then I practiced 3 hours, and then I went home. So to me, that wasn't a terribly long day. It was about what my day would have been if I'd have been doing the old 9-to-5 jobs. I mean, that's just what I did. And I did that, oh gosh. I mean, my dad did that about 8 years, driving back and forth for an hour. And so then I started to travel a bit. The school was asking me to travel. People were asking me to speak. And here's the thing. My first speaking event was at New Beginnings in New Jersey. Love I looked out, beginnings. There was about 250 people there. And mind you, I'm still not real comfortable talking in front of people, however many years ago that was. Still not great at it. But if somebody asked me to do it, and I said, so I have an obligation to do it. And I looked out, and it was, so the front row was Dr. Edwin Cordero and his wife. So he's the president.
Presidente.
Senior Vice President Neil Cohen and his wife were in the audience. And then Dr. Armin Rossity, who was our Dean of Clinical Sciences, and another one of my bosses. So 3 of my 6 bosses were in the front row.
Powerhouse. Wow.
And the old me would have said, well, if, you know, gosh, there they are, I'm intimidated by them, and I may not have a job on Monday, depending on how this talk goes. And I had a flip, and that's what I was actually thinking going into this talk. I better not screw this up because I got my bosses here. And that's actually how I led off my talk. But then what I realized was, for some reason, I think we minimize ourselves. And I had minimized my personal why. I mean, it's okay to do great things. It's okay to be recognized for great things. It's okay to find happiness in what you're doing and all these things. And what I realized was, when I speak, you know, people actually want you to win. Nobody goes to a talk or a seminar and says, boy, I hope this sucks, right? They want you to win, and they're giving us, and it's the same thing with patients. A patient wants us to make their life better. They just need to know how to do it. And so all we have to do is, let me just speak from the heart and tell you how I can help your life be better. And that's what I do. And I learn when I speak what's on my mind. I don't worry about the audience per se. I mean, when I know the audience, you can speak to it, but it's like, you got 200 people in the audience, who knows what they're thinking. So just speak for yourself. And what I realized was, having my three bosses in the front row wasn't a challenge to me. They were there to support and protect me. They were the barrier between the whole other crowd. And it really started, I said, you know what? For the first time in my life, I was really starting to think people are rooting for me to win. And that was a huge shift in my mindset, where people do just flat want you to win. And so now I started focusing on, all right, it wasn't so much money, because you don't get into teaching, quite frankly, for money. And I mean, Sherman pays me fine for what I want to do with my life, but that's not the goal. I mean, my impact was, every student that graduates from that stage, if they have 1,000 patient files, then I had something to do with all of those files. So instead of dealing with the thousands that I could deal with in private practice, now I'm dealing with hundreds of thousands and even millions of people that, directly or indirectly, I'm going to have a hand in that part. So that was the legacy to me. There's no better place to serve a legacy that big than school, because that's where you can affect so many people. And so that was my choice, to do school. So now I'm doing my 6:30 to 7:30 day. And then on the weekends, I'm going to speak. And everybody's like, how do you keep up the schedule? And it's like, it's not a schedule, because you made the point earlier. I flat enjoy what I'm doing. So on the weekends, I'm hanging out with my friends. I can hang out with my friends here in town in Greenville, or I can hang out with chiropractic friends and you name the city across the country. All it takes is a plane ticket to get there. So that was the cool thing. So I don't feel like I'm working, to be quite honest. And then to kind of wrap this up a little bit, then I was asked to be the dean of clinics. I'm like, well, that'll be cool. So let's move it up even bigger. I never would have thought I'd have been the dean of clinics. Even when I got here, I was just trying to do a little bit of teaching and maybe live in New Zealand one day. And now I'm not even worried about that. I love what I do here at Sherman. And the beauty of it is, I worked all those years from 6:30 to 7:30, 7:45 when we moved to Greenville, South Carolina. And now I've been put into a position that I'm doing exactly what I want to do when I want to do it. My wife's able to do that. My kids are able to do that. My students will eventually be able to do that. So I serve my why in every aspect. It's not to help people. It's, I love the people that I love to do the things they love to do. And that's what I would tell my patients. So what do you want to do? I want to garden. I want to golf. I want to go skiing. I want to wash the dishes. I want to whatever. Well, and we find out why that's important to them. And like, I can help you do that. And so it's easy for me to go to work. And I talk to the students all the time. There's that meme of the polar bear just sliding his head across the ice. Oh no, it's Monday. I love Monday. And I had a job right before chiropractic school where I was such a jerk on Sunday. I was a horrible dad and a horrible husband because I hated so much where I was going on Monday. Mm. And how many people live their life like that? And I was like, that's just unacceptable for me. And it's not fair to my family. And so having found this thing about chiropractic and then finding my niche in it, being at Sherman College, I love Monday. And so now I don't take vacations as much. So when I go, I take a nice weekend with my wife, but it's so that I can be better on Monday. It's not to escape Friday, right, and avoid Monday. It's so that I can be better on Monday. So it's finding that purpose, and it's easy to intellectualize, but people just have to find it. And yeah, it's going to be a struggle, but what worth doing isn't. And so
I love that.
Yeah. And so now I'm doing the things that I love to do when I, cause I want to do it. And so I'm just having a flat blast. And so I get to hang out with cool people like you, Jake, and everybody else I get to meet. And how much better can that be? And so if there's somebody out there that's eight-ish years in practice and kind of feeling, I get it. Well, let's sit and talk and let's look at it and let's develop the practice you want versus the practice you think somebody else wants, whether it's your patients or a mentor or whatever. And I mean, that's why I think people need to listen to your story. I mean, you've got so much to offer people. I mean, I know when I was in practice and I learned the concept as simple as who's your ideal client / target market, who are the people that are meant, I thought everybody with a spine. Well, I started to refine that and started to subtly fire people from the office. And the people that left my office when I really shifted to being real focused in who I wanted to serve, they were nice people. Most of the people that left my office, they weren't jerks. I had some jerks. I mean, we all do. But for most, they were nice people, but they were asking for things that I really didn't want to give. And so I quit giving them. And then all of a sudden, what I realized, like, and it felt like it was overnight. It wasn't. It was a process, but it felt overnight. I got a practice full of people I love hanging out with all day long. So why wouldn't you want to see more of them? And so now my volume was in the 12 hours I was practicing, it was almost at the level it was when I was doing full-time 4 days a week.
I love that. You guys, we've been taught some incredible things here, but this is practical. It is so easy to watch a movie and be like, don't go in that room. Don't do this. Don't do that. But when you are faced with a decision of starvation, when you're faced with a decision for an opportunity that seems like, wow, that seems like good money, man, you could make great money as a dentist, but I'm not born to be a dentist. Mm-hmm. I love my dentist. I'm not born to be a dentist. I'm born to be a chiropractor. And the freedom and joy since our kids were little, I've always said very truthfully, hey, dad's going to go play today, guys. I'm going to go play. I'll see you later. I remember my kids saying, dad, I want to play. I'm like, you can. Here's how you get to play at school. Here's how you get to play here. Thank you for teaching us about finding your why. And when you really find your why, you guys, you don't work a day in your life. If you are not doing something that lights you up, you have to ask yourself the question, like you said, you have to ask, okay, how can I change my mindset? So instead of saying I have to do this, where man, I get to do this. I would pay for this opportunity. I would pay to teach at Sherman. I would pay to do what I do and to think of the of what is fulfilling you, to know for a fact that there are going to be millions of lives impacted, and you have played a quintessential part of that is critical. Thank you for talking about systems. Systems are critical. You guys, you cannot Wild West people's lives. You cannot Wild West your life. You cannot shoot from the hip. There's going to be times of intuition that are going to come, moments of a conversation where your life experience will come to play, but you have to have the right system. You talked about mentors. You have to have the right mentors. I have coaches. I have people that I love and that I trust. Right. You know, Dr. Sean Dill, Dr. Lacey Book, you know, Dr. Daniel Bay, Dave Meltzer, Dr. Liam Schubel, Edwin Cordero. You know, we have so many incredible mentors. And guess what? My mentors have mentors. Mm-hmm. My coaches have coaches. Right. I have found so many guys that say, well, you know, I want to be, you know, I'm an author. So I want people to only look at me, or I'm a this. Like, if they know that I'm getting my information from somewhere else, it makes me less than. Well, no, the power of collaboration, the power of being able to join forces with other people is so critical. So golden handcuffs, you guys, can really destroy you. Do not just chase money. It's going to happen today. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen in a month. When you focus on what you want, an opportunity is going to come. When you truly know your why, your what and your who are going to come into focus. Focus on the things that bring you happiness, that light you up. Money will come in anything you do. And what I have found again in my career, when I have focused on chiropractic, chiropractic begins to reveal its secrets to me. The more, you know, I went to Parker, that's where, you know, Dr. Eric Russell was one of my first philosophy teachers. You know, I got to learn, fortunately, from the very, 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 very best in philosophy. And, but I had got it out of school and I thought, oh, well, I have to do all these other things to make money. And again, if it lights you up, go for it. But I have found that the more I have kept chiropractic, the greater my joy has, the more lit up I am to go into my practice, the more lit up I am to grow my practice and to develop other practices and to have opportunities to be able to do what I want to do. I mean, you and I get to see each other 3 or 4 times a year, and it's never it's never in the same place. And it's right. We're always picking where we left off because we now have the freedom and the options to do that. You guys pay for your education, pay for opportunities. I was talking to a chiropractor the other day. Doc, I can't go to a seminar. I can't afford to. Let us help you guys. If you have caught yourself in saying that I can't afford, or I can't take the time, or I don't have the ability, let us help you, because you obviously are struggling with either a mindset, mm-hmm. with not having the right people or the systems in front of you. So thank you for teaching that, Brian. Man, I'm honored to have had you on today. You guys, for those of you who would love to be able to connect with Brian and to be able to connect with Sherman, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I'm going to get to that in a second, but you, if you think you can't afford to go to a seminar or get a mentor, the question I want you to ask is, can you afford not to? And stew on that for a little bit. And, but to get in touch with me, and I'm happy, I love giving, I work for school, so we give free advice all the time, and I'm happy to whatever you want, just to chat about anything. B as in boy or Brian. There we go. B Dooley, Dooley, at sherman.edu. You can also find me on something called the Facebook. I don't know if anybody heard of that, but it's something new. But yeah, find me on that. And then here's the thing I had to learn is when a mentor tells you to do something, just do it.
Do it.
Yeah, because they're telling you to do it for a reason. And I was stubborn, so I know what that feeling is like. And what I also learned was, and I've seen this in many avenues of my life, is we're told you got to serve. Sometimes the greatest service you can do for somebody is to let them serve you. And so let your mentor serve you. Let people buy you a drink or a meal or send you a book, or let them, if they invite you to a seminar, go, especially if they do pay it. Let people serve you. And it's amazing when you get, and that's a gift that you give people. So when you give in that way, the world gives back like you wouldn't believe, to where I was able to develop the mindset that with my wife, now we say it's just money, we'll go make more. And that comes from my buddy, Dr. Ron Castellucci. So give people the opportunity. So let Jake serve you. He will serve you in the best way possible. And the gifts that you'll get back from him through your practice and through your lives are far outweigh anything you do. So
enough said. Thank you for serving us today. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to love and to serve us and to share your pearls of wisdom on how to find your why and how to serve and how to let others serve you so that you can allow them to receive blessings. So I appreciate you. I can't wait to see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
At Lyceum. And look forward to talking to you then. Until then, live abundantly.
I will. You do the same.